Now, in Brother Mark's first discourse, we got to know him a little bit better. He has chosen as his subject this afternoon, Occupy Till I Come. Occupy Till I Come. Brother Mark.
Thank you. Thank you, brethren. The hymn that we sang is a beautiful hymn as we understand the truth, and hopefully you'll understand why I chose it as we give our remarks. Quickly again, love from the brethren in the Southeast, the Starkville class wanted me to send their love, Brother Arthur Parker, Sister Tamara, and Sister Suzanne most especially, and the other brethren with whom we meet wanted their love to be sent to the class here. And I do want to thank you for inviting me. It's a very great honor and privilege and responsibility to stand in front of the Lord's people. And so I pray that anything said here will be in line with the harvest message and in the spirit of looking into the things of the Lord. And the remarks today are a result of my living in the Southeast, particularly Mississippi, is probably the reddest of all the red states. And there's a good deal of patriotism for the current war and the current administration. The statistics show, I think, that the Southeast delivers probably the majority of military personnel, National Guard, those types of individuals who are very pro-America, pro-Christianity as it's commonly presented. And so over the last few years, I've noticed an increased, I guess you would say, a militarism connected with the churches. And some of the brethren have also remarked on this. And so I found it interesting, and these remarks today are sort of the result of that observation. The title is taken from Luke 19:13, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come. This is a key text which is used by dominionists. I'm not sure if some of you have heard that term, but we'd like to look at the term dominionist and also some related terms that go along with it. Dominionists use this text to justify their attempt, their desire to seize political power and establish a theocracy in the United States. They hope to do this mostly through the Republican Party, starting at the local level, all the way from school boards to pretty much any local office, all the way up through state and federal government, the courts, all the branches of government. These are all targets of these Christian Reconstructionists that seek to bring their vision of Christianity and the conversion of the world to pass. So, again, in this talk, I will have to mention individuals, prominent leaders within these movements. But this is not any way a reflection of these individuals, because we know that many do things for the Lord that he doesn't condone, but their desire is to do what they understand to be right. So again, no judgment on individuals. We looking at these systems and the events that are occurring. I'd like to explore dominionism, the related concepts of theocracy and Christian Reconstructionism. We'd also like to look at what the scriptures say about these concepts. I'd like to look at how this movement fits in with Brother Russell's understanding of the closing features of this age. We'd like to look at what these dominionists have accomplished so far. Also, what would be an appropriate response as our brand of Christianity, so to speak, to this movement. And perhaps also some quotes from some of the leaders of these movements. Just for expediency, I will sort of refer to them all as dominionists. There are distinctions within Christian Reconstructionism and dominionists and the concept of theocracy, but for the purpose of this talk, basically we'll treat them as one movement. I have had to use material, of course, from others besides the Harvest Message. And I don't have a handout, and I apologize for that, but I would like to give you two websites that if you're interested in further study, there's really a wealth of information. The problem, I'll call it the problem, has become so severe to some people that they have actually established a site called theocracywatch.org, and there's also a site called the Eureka Report. I'll spell that. Y-U-R-I-C-A-R-E-P-O-R-T, EurekaReport.com, and they're cross-linked with several other sites. It is the Internet, so you have to sort of use discretion, but there is good information on the subject if you're interested in pursuing it. So, what is dominionism, theocracy, and Christian Reconstructionism? Dominionism is a tendency among Protestant Christian evangelicals and fundamentalists that encourages them to not only be active political participants in civic society, but also to dominate the political process as part of a mandate from God. Genesis 1:26 tells us, "And God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.'" Some Christians read this text and believe that Christians alone are biblically mandated to occupy all secular institutions until Christ returns. There is no consensus on when that might be. This is close related to the concept of a theocracy. You know, many believe that Christ could return 5 seconds from now. Many of the churches believe that there are other events that have to transpire before he returns. There's really no consensus on when that will be. But it's very akin to what happened after the first advent of our Lord, after the apostles fell asleep. Many are getting tired of waiting, and they are wanting to speed up events or do their part as they see their part to hasten the return of the Lord. Theocracy is derived from two Greek words, theos, meaning God, and kraton, meaning to rule. Many right-wing Christians feel that God is commanding them to take control of society, especially since they see, as we do, the deterioration of morals, of trashy entertainment on TV, of the proliferation of sexual diseases, all these things that we see as indicators of the present evil world falling apart. They see as indicators that they are losing their battle to establish God's kingdom on the earth. And so a few years ago, about 30 years ago, there was a concerted effort to reverse this trend and to take control of all these problems and to solve them by their understanding of the scriptures. They see the rise of liberalism as evil. Of course, the Democrats are liberals, so Democrats are evil. To many of these Christian Reconstructionists, being in the Democratic Party is akin to being a traitor. So we see a super right-wing nationalism that is connected with their theology. Christian Reconstructionism seeks to reconstruct American society into their idea of a godly nation. Reconstructionists are committed to making the laws of ancient Israel the law of the land in the United States. They believe the Mosaic Law is God's blueprint for all societies. Their ultimate goal is to make the U.S. Constitution conform to a strict, literal interpretation of biblical law. You know, the Pilgrims desired something similar to this when they first came to escape their persecution. And, of course, when the early Baptists and some others disagreed with them, then they in turn persecuted them. So we see that Even though motives are good, sometimes the carrying out of these things does not achieve the results. It's interesting that they want to take America back. And I'm not exactly sure what they want to take it back to. Is it slavery? Is it some Ozzie and Harriet America that never existed? Whatever it is, they want to get control to establish their concepts and to force their beliefs on everyone else. We can sympathize with their desires because certainly I'm dismayed at the lack of morals. And you know, you turn on the TV and it's pretty much just a sewer. And there's really not much good in society and the popular entertainment. It's actually one of the things that probably many have in common with the Muslims. The Muslims are, you know, always talking about how Hollywood is such a degrading influence, and you know, they're right on that. I would say in a lot of ways, we know even a broken watch is right twice a day. So since they have a few things right, though, but of course all the other things are not. Here's the blueprint of some of these dominionists. They want to make the Ten Commandments the law of the land, strengthen patriarchally ordered families, close public schools, make parents totally responsible for the education of their children, reduce the role of government to the defense of property rights, require tithes to ecclesiastical agencies to provide welfare services. And they would also like to close prisons and reinstitute slavery as a form of punishment, and require capital punishment for all of ancient Israel's capital offenses: apostasy, blasphemy, incorrigibility in children, murder, rape, Sabbath breaking, sodomy, and witchcraft. And I think that you have picked up on two of these: apostasy and blasphemy. I think those would be the two ones that they would apply to brethren. I'm not sure if my... there I am.
Sorry.
High technology here. I'm not good at it. All right. Is taking dominion or reconstructing society a biblical concept? You know, we speak of the kingdom all the time, don't we? We pray for thy kingdom to come and thy will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We would like the kingdom as well. Of course, the difference is we feel that the Christ, head and body, the completed church, will at the due proper time work with the Lord in establishing a kingdom upon the earth. But our Christian friends interpret these scriptures a different way, as we read before, Luke 19:13. This is a part of a parable where Jesus received his authority to rule from his heavenly Father. The 10 pounds is not literal money to be literally used. Am I still here? I am. The pastor says, Brother Russell said, here is the work of the gospel. The reigning and the gospel are distinct. This is in Harvest Gleanings 13. Dominionists interpret this verse as God commanding them to reign over the multitudes. So they want to take this now, take this power now. But the word here, occupy, is Strong's number 4231. It signifies to do business, use, or traffic with. As Brother Russell explains, to show their degree of loyalty as his servants by the degree of activity in his interest. The fullness of Christ's reign awaits the completion of his body. The pound represents justification and all that that entails. The use of our talents, abilities, opportunities, all these things to be used in the Lord's service. You know, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:8, now are ye full, now are ye rich, ye have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. You know, Paul was being maybe just a little sarcastic in this to make the point that these brethren were premature in assuming the reins of power. Our Catholic friends have claimed that Christ has been ruling through the Pope for over 1,000 years. This counterfeit reign, as we know, has not produced the results of the true reign. This is not the time for the church to reign, but rather to be called out, to be developed, and to develop under trials to become more in character likeness like our Savior. Also in Matthew 22, verses 20 through 21. And he saith unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Reprint 27:56 says, This is a lesson to the Lord's people to keep religious affairs separate and distinct from worldly politics. And that's very good advice from the pastor. It's almost exactly opposite of how the Dominionists view this mandate. The kingdom that is in the process of being set up now, behind the scenes, that's the instrument that will bless all the families of the earth through Christ and his church. Christ is indeed taking dominion, so to speak, since his return. He is not doing it through the Republican Party, however, or the Democratic Party, or the name Green Party, Constitution Party, any other political party, even of the Shiite or the Sunni parties. He's definitely not using those. Luke 12:32 tells us, Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Notice, the kingdom will be given to the little flock. The little flock does not have to fight for it in a worldly campaign or bow to corporations for money to finance them, or to infiltrate and manipulate the military, or to engage in smear campaigns against an opposition party. All these are not the way that the little flock will be given the kingdom. You know, brethren, no one wants the kingdom to be established more than we do, because we understand, by God's grace, we understand the heights and depths and the breadth of the restitution work that will be accomplished. And it's such a wonderful, all-encompassing work that Christ accomplished by his ransom sacrifice. So we are advocates of God's kingdom. But, of course, we can't join in with our Christian brothers in their concept of how this kingdom will be established. So, the Father, again, will have pleasure in giving them the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 1:27 through 29 says, But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things that are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. All right, so how does dominionism fit into the expectations which Brother Russell had for the future from his understanding and his time? I think it fits very well. I think that as I did the study, I regained a new respect for Brother Russell's ability through the Holy Spirit to see trends emerging. Many things in his day were small beginnings of what has come to fruition in later years in our time. So Brother Russell was used very greatly of the Lord, and we really can't go wrong by studying closely his expectations. The foreword to Volume 4 in part says this: The Bible points out that about this time the nominal church systems of the world will rise to great prominence again in connection with the civil powers. We can readily see the grounds for this. All the kingdoms, financially weakened, will realize the necessity for keeping a dominating grip on the public and preventing anything akin to socialism and anarchy. They will naturally look to the great religious institutions called churches to support them, to threaten the people with future torments, and in general to help keep the ship of state from being overturned. So the churches are ready, and they're glad for such an opportunity. There was a conference called Reclaiming Christ for America that was held in February of 2005 at Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The leader there is D. James Kennedy. Probably some of you are familiar with him. He made the following statement: Our job is to reclaim America for Christ, whatever the cost. As the vice regents of God, we are to exercise godly dominion and influence over our neighborhoods, our schools, our government, our literature and arts, our sports arenas, our entertainment media, our news media, our scientific endeavors, in short, over every aspect and institution of human society. And Jerry Falwell once said, thank God for Fox News. So we see that they are indeed following in this pattern which Brother Russell saw from the scriptures. It's interesting that God is not mentioned in the Constitution. And many times, some of the Christian Reconstructionists like to cite Thomas Jefferson. And I just wonder how many of them know that he wasn't a Trinitarian. I wonder if they would really quote him as much. But Brother Russell suggests that the threat of anarchy and socialism will move the churches and the government closer together. And there is now a third fear of an Islamic government in the United States. One of the leaders of the megachurch movement is a man named Ted Haggard. He's a pastor of a powerful mega church called New Life in Colorado Springs. He has been quoted as saying, "My fear is that my children will grow up in an Islamic state." So they see the rise of Islam as a threat to Christendom. All right, continuing from Volume 4, the foreword. Already they are rolling together as a scroll, the one side Catholic, the other Protestant, opposed and yet connected, each side united and federated to the best of its ability. And brethren, they are in fact rolling together. You remember the case of Terri Schiavo, the brain-damaged Florida woman. It provoked a national debate over whether she should live or die. And it's a testament to the growing alliance of conservative Roman Catholics and evangelicals. They have found a common cause in the culture of life, articulated first by Pope John Paul II. This struggle is only the latest indication of a strengthening religious alliance between these two sides, which were once bitterly divided, as we know. 11 years ago, a group of evangelical and Catholic leaders released a groundbreaking statement called Evangelicals and Catholics Together, drafted after a series of unusual meetings. I think it was about the time I came into the truth, and I think many of the brethren had taken notice of that and had, you know, had mentioned that. This document treated primarily theological issues, but it said that evangelicals and Catholics could unite on a broad social agenda that included pro-life issues, strengthening the family, and government support for religious schools. Again, brethren, I'm pro-life. I would like the family to be strengthened. Some of these things are very noble. But again, we know that we are to wait upon the Lord. The vision may seem to tarry, but it will not tarry. And so our belief and our ideas are what is contained in the scriptures as we understand through the ministry of the wise and faithful servant. And we're very blessed in that way. You know, not too many years ago, this unfortunate Schiavo case, very sad case, it would have been a state's rights issue. Republicans would have been loath to mobilize the power of the federal government to supersede a state's decision. You know, states' rights. The Republicans were very big on states' rights. The same conservatives who don't acknowledge the depths of our health care system crisis are calling on government to save Schiavo's life. Because as they see it, the Lord has not yet called her, but God did call her. It's just that medical science and family members who can't bear to let her go are preventing her departure from earth. And that was a quote from the New York Times. I found that very interesting. It seems like they really got a handle on that. So I'm continuing here with Brother Russell. The divine authority of the church and the divine right of kings, aside from the church, will not be allowed to conflict, for both will be endorsed. The divine authority of the church, of course, is not questioned by dominionists. And the divine right of kings seems to be on the verge of becoming operative again in America. This is, I'm sorry to have to quote so much, but this is from the Eureka Report, and it really laid it out well, I think. On December 24, 2001, Pat Robertson resigned his position as president of the Christian Coalition. Now, behind the scenes, religious conservatives were very excited because they believed that Robertson had stepped down to allow the ascendance of the President of the United States to take his rightful place as the head of the true American Holy Christian Church. They were very excited and buoyed by the win of George Bush in the election. And this was a signal to them that the Bush administration was a government under God that was led by an anointed president who would be the first regent in a dynasty of regents awaiting the return of Jesus to earth. The president would now be the minister through whom God would execute his will in the nation. You know, it's been reported that George Bush meets regularly with many of the leading evangelicals, Ted Haggard, James Dobson, many others, and if not in person, then his senior staff is in close contact with many of these evangelicals. It's also been noticed that he's a Methodist by, you know, his denomination, but that he's taken a decidedly right turn in his understandings, and so I think we can see, especially since the war, that could be so. I have a very conservative friend that I worked with in Mississippi, and he was pretty big in the Republican Party. And he has a plaque on his wall that says, "Politics is a dirty business, especially if it's done right." And so he's all for getting in the trenches and smearing the opposition and, you know, really, because it's for good, ultimately, in their mind, it's for good. Whatever has to be done, even some would say stealing an election, it's all okay because it's an attempt to establish, bring God's reign of righteousness first to the United States and then to the rest of the world. Many think that Europe is already lost to the Islamics. And so there's a renewed sense of desperation, so to speak, to prevent that from happening in the United States. So I sent him the link for theocracywatch.org, and I received his response, and I'd just like to give it to you real quick. He said that Canada has now gone conservative, and America has a slight conservative majority, and the liberals are scared to death. He said that this site is evidence of their fear and their tendency to simplify their woes as being Christians' fault. Something that is interesting to me these days, this is still my friend, is that liberals talk about tolerance. They say we must be people who tolerate every belief, religious, lifestyles. However, what is really ironic about liberals is that they do indeed tolerate everyone and everything except, and here he puts a drum roll, except for Christians. Christians are not to be tolerated or trusted. And my thought here was that, you know, many evangelicals claim that they're becoming the persecuted church. And when people are persecuted, many times they fight back. And these people are really confusing dissent with persecution, because I know where I live, there's a church on every corner, and they're in power many places. They have positions in a lot of the local governments. We have a five-point Calvinist as governor of the state of Mississippi. It doesn't sound like they're being persecuted to me, but they are. If someone disagrees with them, no, that's not persecution. But in their mind, they are taking it that way because they have a mandate, they believe. Continuing on with my friend's point, he says that liberals, and he adds Democrats, really aren't tolerant. And this is a battle over religious ideology, and they know it. Every man is religious, whether he knows it or not, and we've got to get the word out. So I think the theocracywatch.org touched a nerve. What have dominionists accomplished so far? Well, many have taken control functionally of the Republican Party, the GOP. Again, brother, I just want to say that these are facts or things that I've gleaned from online. I'm not necessarily advocating all these views, only presenting it to you as something to think about and to study further. Many feel that they have taken control of the Republican Party. Many moderates in the Republican Party have been forced out. they have some very clever ways to do this. And many times they'll, at a local level, will come to a meeting and they'll ask just crazy, silly questions and drag the meeting out. And a lot of people just leave. And who's left at the end of the meeting? Well, conservative Christians. And then they'll go on to vote themselves in and set the agenda. And when the other folks come back to the next meeting, well, what happened here? So they're very good at their grassroots organization and campaigning. All right. Theocracy seeks to establish a theocratic government in the United States under which all dissent will be crushed. The motive is to eliminate labor unions, civil rights laws, and public schools. Now, some feel that this would create a new class of citizens. Women would be generally relegated to hearth and home. Insufficiently Christian men would be denied citizenship and perhaps executed. So severe is this theocracy that it would extend capital punishment to blasphemy, heresy, adultery, and homosexuality. And these are quotes from different people who are monitoring this rise of the religious right. Today's hard right seeks total dominion. It's packing the courts and rigging the rules. The target is not necessarily Democrats, but democracy itself. Pat Robertson distributed to the Iowa Republican County Caucus a little guide called How to Participate in a Political Party. And some of the points were, rule the world for God. Give the impression that you are there to work for the party, not push an ideology. Hide your strength. Don't flaunt your Christianity. Christians need to take leadership positions. Party officers control political parties, and so it is very important that mature Christians have a majority of leadership positions wherever possible, God willing. And I believe that they would say that mature Christians are those who would toe the party line. All right? How has and how will the theocratic right continue to orchestrate this takeover? They are trying to gain control or cooperation of the large denominations to become foot soldiers of the dominionists. The movement is a hybrid of fundamentalists, Pentecostals, Southern Baptists, conservative Catholics, charismatics, and other evangelicals, all of whom are at war doctrinally. Doctrinally, they're very different in their beliefs, but they're united in this belief that America is destined to become a Christian nation led by Christian men who are directed by God. Lately, the leaders of the movement have even begun to reach out to Mormons. So we see that doctrine becomes less important as they increase their drive and desire to seize power. Let's see here. They view anyone who are intellectual opponents or political opponents not only as opponents, but as agents of Satan. So anyone in opposition is an agent of Satan. Now from fourth volume, page 171, Brother Russell says, to cultivate in the people a desire for union and a disposition to ignore doctrine. Just what we just mentioned, they're at war doctrinally, but there's a disposition to ignore doctrine and to extend a generous fellowship to all morally disposed people and seek their cooperation in what they call Christian work. This sentiment finds its most earnest supporters among the young and middle-aged. So Brother Russell saw this scenario, which is very close to how the theocratic right has risen. And by the way, that's a term you may hear. Many in the opposition to the direction that the Republican Party is going have started using the term the theocratic right as opposed to the religious right. So if you hear that, you'll know what they're speaking of. Also, to orchestrate this takeover, they want to gain control of the military. There is evidence that the U.S. military, like the Southern Baptist Convention, has been targeted as an institution to be taken over and replaced with dominionists. These are men and women who may be willing to do anything to further the cause of Christ as they see it. Now, we know that the military in years past was used by the papacy to kill dissenters and heretics and those who disagreed with that system. And these dominionists know history And they can plainly see the success of that system. So, you know, how could it fail to become a pattern for them? And we know that since many conservative Catholics are involved, Rome knows all about this. And who knows behind the scenes, but I would assume it's possible that Rome has much more involvement than is being let on now. There's a lieutenant, William G. or Jerry Boykin. He was the focus of media reports when he spoke about his involvement in the war on terrorism at 23 Baptist and Pentecostal churches. He had military aides with him. He wore his uniform. And there was a 10-month investigation by the Defense Department. He received reimbursement from his travel costs from one of the sponsoring church groups and failed to report that. He wore his uniform and gave the impression that he was representing the military. It confirmed, this report did, that the U.S. military is recruiting heavily from the evangelical and Pentecostal churches to form a spiritual army that will draw strength from a greater power to defeat the enemy. So if anyone says that we're not engaged in a religious war, that's not true. Most of the evangelical soldiers in the United States Army, I would venture to say, do believe that they are engaged in a religious war. In fact, he told the First Baptist Church of Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, on June 30, 2002, "What I'm here today is to recruit you to be warriors of God's kingdom." And he also said that George Bush was not elected by a majority of the voters in the United States, but rather he was appointed by God. So we see that they really do have a sincere, deep belief that this administration is in power to lead the United States in the direction of establishment of a theocracy. These dominionists are also concentrating power and sharing resources. It's interesting, and what got me interested in this was Colorado Springs, Colorado. It has become a hotbed for evangelical groups. The Air Force Academy is there, other military installations, and hundreds of evangelical churches. And I spoke with Brother Dale Crosby, and he says, "Oh, that's not news out here. We've known that for a long time." So he also gave me some other links to look at. But Colorado Springs has been called the Wheaton of the West. And I think you might be familiar with Wheaton here. It was sort of a place where this was sent out, you know, to send Christianity out, so to speak. Well, they call it the Wheaton of the West or the Evangelical Vatican. I find that very interesting that they themselves call it the Evangelical Vatican. There's many evangelical churches. From Colorado Springs go out missionaries, books, marching orders for the Lord's army as they see themselves. And we might say the Lord's great army. But the city is home to Young Life, Navigators, Compassion International, many, many ministries, but most prominent is probably focused on the family, which, by the way, James Dobson is a member of the Church of the Nazarene. He doesn't put that forward, but he's very highly regarded, and he's sort of the Church of the Nazarene's crowning jewel, so to speak. And he has a radio program and magazines, books that reach more than 200 million people worldwide. And we know that when James Dobson calls for action, people respond. All right. The number of chaplains from 94 to 2005 from evangelical and Pentecostal churches rose some doubling. Church of the Nazarene rose to 12 from 6. At the same time, the number of chaplains from the Roman Catholic Church declined from 167 to 94. There were declines in all the liberal mainstream Protestant churches. United Methodist went from 64 to 50. But at the same time, evangelical churches such as the Assembly of God and some of the Pentecostal churches increased their chaplains in the military. And I know you've probably seen on the news here lately, there's even some lawsuits by some of the evangelicals that they can't pray in Jesus' name for their soldiers. So they're really looking for this administration to give them that right to really push Jesus and pray in Jesus' name. And there's one interesting quote here. There's a pecking order in the Navy Chaplain Corps. A Commander Wilder said, "At the very top are Roman Catholics, below them are Episcopalians and Lutherans. If you're an evangelical Christian or some type, you're down at the bottom." But what was interesting to me is that these are some of the major players that we understand in Revelation 13, the Catholics and the Episcopalians, and it's just interesting. I won't go into this much, but I do want to say that evangelical support for Israel is at an all-time high now. I think we all know. And that they would like to hasten the end times. There is a pastor called John Hagee. I don't know if any of you have seen him, but he's quite vocal in his support for Israel, because he really feels that this current war in the Middle East is prelude to Armageddon, and that by forcing this war and continuing it, we will hasten Jesus' return. So these are some of the ideas that are out there that we're confronted with, and that we will be able to provide scriptural reasons why these things are not so. There's another thing, homeschooling and dominionism. Now, let me say offhand, I'm nothing against brethren who homeschool. There are many reasons to do so. But the reasons that the dominionists have to homeschool are not the reasons the brethren have. Their chief reasons to raise these children in homeschools is to insulate them from the liberal influences of the public schools, but to train them up to become positions of power in the military, in the religious world, and also in all branches of the government. So they're raising children to become warriors of God, so to speak, or to become God's regents in administering this theocracy which they would like to establish. So one of the homeschool textbooks is called America's Providential History. And here's some of the things it says. A government-controlled and funded welfare system is unbiblical, which that would include Social Security. Scripture makes it clear that God is the provider, not the state. Income tax is idolatry. Property tax is theft, and inheritance taxes are simply not allowed in the Bible. They want to abolish the IRS. They don't single out sales taxes, unbiblical, however. But how can a government be run without taxes? Well, the churches will take over. Where will they get the money? People will tithe. They will give 10% of their income to the church, and that would finance most social welfare in their scheme of things. And we do see something similar happening, that today taxes are being slashed. Even during this time of war and record deficits, taxes are going lower. But billions of dollars in programs for the poor are being cut from federal programs and diverted to religious charities through the president's faith-based initiatives. It's interesting that at the same time that many are trying to raise up children to take positions of power in this emerging theocracy, that the Arabs are mosque schooling their children to be warriors for Allah. Palestinian textbooks have rhetorical questions such as, is it not clear why we must continue to fight and kill Jews to drive them off our land? On Palestinian television, little boys and girls proclaim, I can see my fall, but I march on resolutely to my death. A young girl calls out, I see my death, and I am running toward it. And her teacher applauds her and says, bravo, bravo. Groups of young children are shown marching in rows, led by their teacher, chanting, we are the suicide squad. So we see the two sides of this religious war coming into place. What should our response be to some of these events that we see today? You know, Jesus gave a really good answer when he was still a young boy. Young's literal translation of Luke 2:49 says, and he said unto them, why is it that you were seeking me? Did you not know that in the things of my Father it behooveth me to be? So let us, brethren, like Jesus, be in or about the things of our Father. We should also pray. Our Lord's Prayer provides the guideline for our prayers and is even more fitting nowadays. In our prayers to strengthen the brethren and to ask for more of God's Holy Spirit as we seek to do His will. We should proclaim to Zion, Thy God reigneth, Isaiah 52:7. We should build one another up in the most holy faith, Jude 1:20. Give a comforting message to Israel, Isaiah 40:1. Make our calling and election sure, 2 Peter 1:10-11. We're to find the wheat and bind tares, to give a Christian witness of our concept of the kingdom to the world. And brethren, I'm sure that you can add to this list, because there are many valid and scriptural things that, as Christians, that we can be doing at this time. Galatians 6:10 tells us, as we have opportunity, therefore, Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Remember our little tract, God has a plan and you are in it. All right, what are some things we should not be doing? Putting our time, effort, and money into worldly, earthly, political organizations, which by default are under the control of Satan. From the fourth volume, Brother Russell says, on page 44, on principle, as soon as the increased light of harvest truth illuminates our minds and makes manifest the deformities of error, we must be loyal to the former and discard the latter by withdrawing all our influence and support from it. This implies a withdrawal from the various religious organizations whose doctrines misrepresent and make void the word of God. It places us in the attitude of aliens toward all existing civil powers, not opposing aliens, but peaceable and law-abiding aliens who render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and unto God the things that are God. Our citizenship is in heaven and not upon the earth. So, brethren, do not share in the coming church union or confederacy, as Isaiah 8:12 says. Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy, neither fear not their fear, nor be afraid. Reprint 3372 says, fear is a realization of weakness, is at the bottom of the desire for union at the expense of truth. But do not be afraid, brethren. Matthew 10:26, fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed or hid that shall not be made known. So I'd like to give just a few quotes in the last few minutes from some of the leaders. Jerry Falwell said, get them saved, get them baptized, and get them registered. Dr. James Kennedy said, how much more forcefully can I say it? The time has come, and it is long overdue, when Christians and conservatives and all men and women who believe in the birthright of freedom must rise up and reclaim America for Jesus Christ. Of course, Pat Robertson is quite a major player in this whole event. He said, we are not coming up against just human beings to beat them in elections. We're going to be coming up against spiritual warfare, and if we're not aware of what we're fighting, we will lose. Now, this next guy, Rod Parsley, is anybody, I'm sure some of us probably familiar, the Columbus brother are probably quite familiar with him. His church is out of Columbus, Ohio. World Harvest Church. He says, Americans must be Christocrats, citizens of both their country and the kingdom of God. And he said, that is not a democracy, that is a theocracy. That means God is in control and you are not. TBN founder Paul Crouch said that he wanted to control the world's programming during the millennium. And I don't think that's going to happen. Tim LaHaye of the Left Behind series said about the Jews, two-thirds of them will be wiped out, and the survivors will accept Jesus as last. So there's our, there's what the Jews have to look forward to, according to our Christian friends. James Dobson said that God has called us to be his representatives in our nation and in our world. Select candidates who represent your views and work for their election. And one last one. Tom DeLay has been in the news lately. He was the Republican majority leader, I believe. And one day he was at John Hagee's church in Texas and declared that the war between America and Iraq is the gateway to the apocalypse. DeLay rose to speak, not only to the congregation, but to 225 Christian TV and radio stations, and he said, ladies and gentlemen, what has been spoken here tonight is the truth of God. So, brethren, in conclusion, all these goals of the Dominionists will be accomplished by the Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit in the kingdom, which is soon to come. We see the signs promised more and more every day. Mankind will be blessed, starting with Israel, Ezekiel 36:26. Righteousness will be established. The Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his beams. There will be universal health care. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. There will be harmony between man and animal. There will be peace, economic security, Isaiah 65. Death will be no more, Revelation 21, verse 4. So, brethren, there is indeed a coming theocracy under the control of, you might say, a benevolent dictator. Society will be reconstructed, not under the Ten Commandments, but under the Golden Rule. Dominion will be given back to this tried and perfected humanity, and they will be ushered into the glorious ages to come, wherein dwelleth righteousness. So, brethren, these are things to think on and to study and to keep in mind as the days and months come ahead. And may the Lord add his blessing and overrule anything said or done amiss.